Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not her plague. Revelation 18:4. In the last work for the warning of the world, two distinct calls are made to the churches. The second angel's message is, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And in the loud cry of the third angel's message, a voice is heard from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not her plague, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. As God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, that they might keep his Sabbath, so he has called his people out of Babylon, that they may not worship the beast or his image. After the truth has been proclaimed as a witness to all nations, every conceivable power of evil will be set in operation, and minds will be confused by the many voices crying, Lo, here is Christ. Lo, he is there. This is the truth. I have the message from God. He has sent me with great light. Then there will be a removing of the landmark, an attempt to tear down the pillars of our faith. A more decided effort will be made to exalt the false Sabbath and to cast contempt upon God himself by supplanting the day he had blessed and sanctified. This false Sabbath is to be enforced by an oppressive law. But while Satan works with his lying wonders, the time will be fulfilled, foretold in the Revelation, and the mighty angel that shall lighten the earth with his glory will proclaim the fall of Babylon and call upon God's people to forsake her. When do our sins reach in unto heaven? When the law of God is finally made void by legislation, then the extremity of God's people is his opportunity to show who is the governor of heaven and earth. As a satanic power is striving up the elements from beneath, God will send light and power to his people, that the message of truth will be proclaimed to all the world.
Yes, but I can't remember Father once again, most faithful, and thank God once again, being alive and living today. We pray for your people that are in radio land, we just pray that the child and all men, the time is going to be in the end of the land. We ask that all of us, the Holy Spirit, in times of the years, that we see the signs being fulfilled, that we be led into all truth that you have promised, and be a part of the truth as you are in the truth. And then all of a sudden, then, Father, we pray that we, along with our Father, mentor, friends, be able to meet you, joy, and gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. If you want to call us on comments or questions concerning the program that you're hearing this afternoon, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit us on our website at www.tpministries.org. That's www.tpministries.org. At our website, you will find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick and Sister Marlene. You'll also find links to other websites that we believe will assist you in your study of the Bible and give you some health tips in how you should live and how you could live healthy in this day and time. We also want to mention now that, once again, Turning Point on the 28th of May, we'll be having a live call-in show, and our topic for that night will be Church and State, Should They Unite? That's Church and State, Should You Unite? And Religious Liberty. Church and State, Should They Unite? And Religious Liberty. As a matter of fact, that is our program up, and we'll be looking at a topic up until the time of our call-in show on the 28th of May, and of course, that will be our program this afternoon. Church and State, Should They Unite? And Religious Liberty. And once again, I want to say, if you have any questions or comments concerning the upcoming live call-in show that you might want us to answer on the air, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273 or email us at tpministries@hotmail.com or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. And I forgot to let you know that also at our website, you will find emails for Brother Paul, myself, Brother Miller Julian, Brother Renwick, and Sister Marlene. So feel free to give us a call. Now, before we get into our program this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on those articles that he might have written, that he might have read in the newspaper that might be of some spiritual significance to us today. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Bruno. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. One of the things someone did not say this week is our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham, was able to put all of his cabinet members together. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, they have their work cut out for them. And once you continue to pray for them in these trying hours, as the people of the Bahamas, like I said last week, we are very ungrateful if you think about it. I mean, we have life. We can move around. We have something to eat. We have someplace to lay our head. And if you don't have it, it's not because it's not available. It's because you may be just too lazy to go out there and get it. Like the Bible says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. So why put so much pressure on the government? God has made it possible for all of us to work in order so we can take care of ourselves and also our families. Then on a sad note, once again, the murder rate continues to climb over the weekend as a young man who lost his life in Freeport went to work, tried to make money to take care of his family. And based on the news report, two young men came to the store, and when they left, they found the young man stabbed to death. What is sad is the murder rate right now is at 32. Remember last week I read you a quote from June 8, 2000, when the murder rate was 32 also. So now we have tied that record early in May. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this murder thing is completely getting out of hand. But as we continue to tell you, based on the Bible account, Matthew 24, just read it over prayerfully and carefully. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it will not get better. It will continue to get worse. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 24, Jesus puts it this way. He said, because he mixes the bound, the love of many will wax cold. He also says in the same Matthew 24 that if he doesn't intervene, if he don't come and put down all the violence and crime and chaos that be going on planet Earth, everyone on planet Earth will be dead. But for the elect's sake, he will step in and cut it short. That's the good news. That's the hope we have as people on this planet. If you don't know him today, get to know him before it is a day too late. Because it won't be long before he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. As we continue to wait on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we will be dealing with the topic of church and state, should they unite, and religious liberty. That's our general topic. This afternoon, we're going to take a little turn and look at Revelation and see how it tells us what it will be happening in these last days. But before, we talk about the Bahamas being a Christian nation, and seeing that God wants the best for his children and his people. Why does it seem as if that is not taking place today in our society?
Well, Brother Julian, the reason why it's not taking place is because we have made void the Bible. We don't want the Bible to control our lives anymore. We just want a form of godliness and are denying the power of God. You know, there's a familiar text that most Christians will like to quote. They don't even know it out of their heads by now. It's been quoted so much through the radio airwaves, through church services, through revivals or whatever. And that's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It has a few good points. It says you must humble, pray, seek God's face, turn wicked ways, and then you'll hear from heaven and he'll forgive our sins and heal our land. The complete text says, if my people, that's the point of all those people who take on the name of Jesus Christ, which are called by his name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and God forgive their sins, and then he will heal their land. The problem is a lot of Christian people don't even know what sin is. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The Apostle Paul tells in the book of Romans that the wage of sin is still there. That's singular. So the problem here is we don't want to turn from our wicked ways. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to pray to the God of heaven and seek his face. We want to seek the face of, maybe, sad to say, some political face over the true face of God. And even the political faces, they also need God. And he says, if you should turn from our wicked ways. And there are a lot of wicked ways that are in the Christian community today. Too many to name today. But I know if you've been listening to this program week after week, we have shared some of those wicked ways with you. We take it for granted that we can do whatever we want to do. We think God will heal the land. But it doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. All of God's promises are based on the conditions if we just do our part. And our part can only be done if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And he will go on the call of duty to give us the power to live what he said he wants us to live, because he wants it. As a matter of fact, his name needs to be vindicated in this land. And like Satan, he says it cannot be done. But we know through Jesus Christ, all things are possible, and they are indeed happening today. Even as we speak, men and women are living upright lives that don't care what you say to them. They are rooted and grounded in Christ, and their faith will not be moved.
Brother Paul, you talked about God's law a minute ago. Is there any danger in us not paying attention to his law?
There's great danger, Brother Joe. As a matter of fact, in the days of David, the prophet David, you know, David
He quoted something very interesting in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 26, 42 to 128. He said, "The time has come, Lord, for you to work, for they have made void thy law." The condition in the days of David was so terrible and so way out of line with God's word. David told God, "It's time for you to work." Why? Because they have made void thy law. And the same thing has happened today. Many of us have made void of God's Ten Commandment law, as written in Exodus chapter 20. Verse 127, David talks about this law. He said, "Therefore I love thy law. I love thy commandment." He said, "He loved the commandments more than gold, yea, than fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts, concerning all things to be right. I hate every falsehood." Can we say the same thing about ourselves today and the days of our children and our family and our wives and children and husbands? That we have liked God's law so much, we have loved God's law so much that even more than fine gold? Are we willing to take the gold from around our necks and from around our fingers and around our hands so we can be in accordance with God's Ten Commandments law? You know, God never put jewelry on his children. As a matter of fact, he took the jewelry away from his children because they were walking mincing as they go, according to Isaiah chapter 3. And nowhere is recorded in the scripture that he ever put those jewelries back on them. But today, God's people love gold more than they love the real gold, which is found in God's Ten Commandments. And David says, he loved them so much that he esteemed all of the precepts of God. They are all right, he said, and he hates every falsehood. How many of us can say the same thing today, that he hates every falsehood? Because every falsehood is the reason why we have so much false going on in the town today. And all of us want right, but right cannot come if you're walking in the false ways of the devil himself.
Seems that we're not paying attention, or it seems as if we're not paying attention to the law of God. Could this be one of the reasons why there's an outcry from the citizenry to have the government legislate morality and pass laws so that it could affect our morality?
Yes, Brother John, there's a cry on just about every side on the planet, in the Bahamas and yeah, even around the world. And it's all because people have made void the law of God. They have made void the law of God. The world right now has fallen apart all around them. And now they want to pass laws enforcing God's children to keep His Ten Commandments. For they say the crime level is just too high. They want to legislate keeping the Sunday holy. They want to legislate thou shalt not steal. They want to legislate thou shalt not commit adultery. They want to legislate thou shalt not be committing homosexuality. But ladies and gentlemen, even if you should legislate laws to keep all to do all these things, then the reason why people will be doing this is not because they love God. Not because they love their fellow men as much as they love themselves, it's because you've legislated. And that means the whole reason for them doing it will not be because they love them, their fellow men, or because they love God, it's because it was legislated. They realize if they don't do it, there's a penalty need to be paid. And that penalty might even be going to jail. So based on that, you know, they will do these things that you legislate simply because, not because they love God, not because they love their husband, their wives, and their children, but because they just don't want to go in foster prison to spend a few months or a few years. And that whole plan that will be destroyed, that Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "If you seek me really, then you will find me. You see, come unto me, all you are heavy laden and need rest, and I will give you rest," says Jesus. And that's the only way the morality lifestyle of the whole Bahamas and around the world could be uplifted, if we go to Jesus. And once we go to him, he will take us where he wants us to be. And the benefits that will come will be for us, and for our children, and even for those who become a conductor.
But Paul, is this the reason why different churches are getting together, or different denominations are getting together, even though they don't believe the same thing? Are they getting together to try to get the government to pass these laws to govern morality?
I believe that very much, very good. As a matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 1, the prophet Isaiah came across a group of people like this. He said, "In that day, seven women." And we know we told you before that women are by approach to the main church. So the prophet Isaiah said, "In that day, seven churches shall take hold of one man." That one man is Jesus Christ. And they're going to be saying to Jesus Christ, "We'll eat our own bread." As a matter of fact, we'll treat the Bible as a buffet. We'll wear our own apparel. But we know if you don't have on the robe of Christ's righteousness, our apparel would not do. "Only let us be called by thy name, Jesus, to take away our reproach, to take away our rebuke or our disgrace." But we know, ladies and gentlemen, if God have any dealings with it, that means God will be the author of sin. That means he himself will be guilty of committing sin. That means he'll be guilty of condoning sin. So today, there are church members who don't want to follow the principles of God. They want to come together under what is known as the ecumenical movement. No sheep stealing, they say. You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. And at the end of the day, God will sort us out. But we know, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. John 10:16, Jesus says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." That's singular. they also I must bring, says Jesus, and they shall hear my voice, and there be one fold and one shepherd. That's now, ladies and gentlemen. Now God wants to come out of Babylon, because like Brother Jonah said earlier, Babylon has fallen. What is Babylon? Confusion. Things that are not written in the Word of God. And this Babylon is by effect. It is being affected on every side. As a matter of fact, just on last week, the so-called Reverend Jerry Falwell, one of the television evangelists from the United States of America, he started a movement called the Moral Majority. And what is their purpose? Their purpose is to mold religious right into political force. Now, what does the political force have to do with the morality of Jesus Christ? It was only based on one thing, ladies and gentlemen, to legislate morality. Well, today he's resting now. He's right now waiting for the trumpet to sound. No, he does not go to heaven like I know you will hear through the television, even maybe even at his funeral, which will be a few days from now. And I know you will hear that he's in heaven. You know, Brother Falwell is in heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, the dead know not anything. And Brother Falwell is right now going to be in the grave in just a few days from now. He's going to come up from the grave just like everyone else who died before the second coming of Christ. And if he died in the Lord, he will rise again. But if he hasn't, his case is decided. And this is the strong reality when it comes to death. We must die in the Lord. We must be alive in the Lord when Jesus Christ comes. If not, when he comes, we would be found wanting.
Knowing all these things that are happening in our society and in our churches, what then should pastors or ministers or reverends or bishops or whatever they call themselves, what should they be doing at a time like this with high crime and people looking for answers? What should they be doing?
Brother Julian, they should be crying aloud and spare not, according to Isaiah 58, verse 1. They should be crying aloud and spare not, lifting their voice like a trumpet, and show God's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. You see that? Transgression is sin, and sin is transgression. But here again, God's children don't know what sin is. Exodus chapter 20, there are 10 laws written with the finger of God on tables of stone. And Jeremiah said, those laws are now written in our hearts. And this is what the minister should be crying about. They should be crying about the people, God's children transgressing God's commandments. And their sins should be confessed. Because the Bible says once we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But what are we here crying? What we here crying for most appropriate today is we need to see if we can hang a lot of young men. And once we hang them, it's going to get better. Once we can see if we can handle a few condoms to protect our children from AIDS, things are going to get a little better. These are things we are crying from pulpit side to say. Once we raise the image of sexual okayness, like from 16 to 18, it's going to get better. Once the government is willing to follow the moral code of God's commandments, things are going to get better. That's what they say. But the Bible is quite clear. Things are not going to get better. Why? Because men do not want to follow the principle of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. They don't want to humble themselves. As a matter of fact, men today are much more in the forefront than Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ himself said, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men. But what is being happening today? Men are lifting up men. Men are bearing the principles of Jesus Christ. And what do they want? They want good to be they want the good results to come out of it. But it will not happen, ladies and gentlemen. Like it was in the days of Noah, Jesus says. As it was in the days of Lot, Jesus says, this is going to be how it's going to be when I return upon this earth.
Therefore, what happened to these pastors or bishops or these men and women who lead the flock who refuse to cry aloud and spare not and lift their voice like a trumpet? What would their end be?
It would not be a good one, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, it would not even be a good one for their members if their members continue to follow them blindly. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, the prophet Jeremiah read the word, woe. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, said the Lord. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of Israel, again, the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, said the Lord. But it will be okay if the Lord just visit the pastors. But you know, there's going to be a special visit also upon the members. Because if Jesus says, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And this is how sad, this is how serious it is. That's why from week to week we'll tell you a turning point. If you're saying things that you know are misleading God's children in radio land, give us a call at 322-6273. You're all of our board members. We hate to not be here week after week telling you things that will cause you to be lost. Because it will not only be that we'll be lost as members of turning point, but also those who listen to us week after week but never take the time to say those things to see if what you're saying is true, like the Bereans. That's why we encourage you to pick up the Bible and study it. Don't read it. Study it, line upon line. precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And then you know, based on the word of God, once you follow the word of God, you cannot go wrong. Because Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
But Paul, basically what you've been doing, and I think most people will probably say that you've been spreading some doom and gloom. What word of encouragement, based on all what is happening and whatever the pastors are doing, what word of encouragement would you have to have for our listeners this afternoon?
One of the words of encouragement that is going to come from Matthew 24, right? Jesus is on Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately, asking, which should be the signs that come in the end of the world? And Jesus' first charge he gives them in Matthew 24, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. That's very important. You see, men will deceive men. As a matter of fact, it's going to be even up to the end of the world before Jesus Christ comes. And the deception is going to be so great. The Bible says that the number of people are going to be lost is going to be like the sand of the sea. You read Revelation chapter 20. That's a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen. And they're not going to be lost for a lot of sins. They're going to be lost because of one sin. Remember, the wages of sin, singular, is death. Not sin. That could be hate, envy, lie, greed, lust, lasciviousness, blasphemy, breaking the Sabbath, whatever the sin might be. That's going to keep you and I out of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the same mindset we die with is the same mindset we're going to wake up in. So if Christ was to allow you and I into heaven, living the type of lifestyle we live by on earth, what do you think is going to happen if he should allow us into heaven? We're going to want to live that same lifestyle. But we have the good news based on the Bible that sin will not arise a second time. And only those who have the victory over every sin, according to Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3, will gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven.
But Paul, you talk about deception. How could we protect ourselves from deception in this day and age? Because, you know, there's a lot of ministers on TV and radio, even Turning Point. So how can the people know what to believe based on what they're hearing from their pulpits, from the TVs, from the radio? Because everybody's saying they have the truth. How are they to be sure what the truth is?
They must go to the Bible, but as a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation chapter, that's the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says this to John the Revelator in verse 18 of Revelation 22. For I testify unto every man that hear the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man should add to the thing, God should add him the plague that are listed in Revelation chapter 16 to him. And if any man should take away from the words of this prophecy of this book, God should take away his part of the book of life and of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So Jesus is quite clear that if he adds to this word, or if we take away from this word, we will not be saved. So anytime someone speaks to you, they must speak to you from the word of God. And there must be line upon line, a precept upon a precept. As, for example, there are a lot of people when you go to funerals, they will tell you that absent from the body, present from the Lord. But if you look at that scripture closely, you'll notice that they leave out a key word from that scripture. Where the apostle Paul says, I would rather be. Not I will be, but I would rather be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. I give you another scripture of example. A lot of people tell you sometimes, what is needful is lawful when it refers to the Sabbath. Well, the Bible never said that. What is needful is lawful. The Bible said, isn't it good to do good on the Sabbath day? And then Jesus gives us a list of principles, him and his disciples, what it means to do good on the Sabbath day. And doing good on the Sabbath day does not cancel the Sabbath day. It's still in effect for all men of planet. As a matter of fact, even in the New Earth, we will keep the Sabbath day. You read that in Isaiah chapter 66. Where it says, from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, shall all flesh come to worship before God. And all, still mean all, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have an attitude that you don't want to do good on the Sabbath and we want to do it on a Monday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Sunday, then we're not going to be in harmony in the word in heaven. Because all of us will be on one accord and together. There's going to be no bucking, no sucking teeth, no attitude once we get to heaven. We're going to be there because we are truly in love with God and he can trust us in heaven. Because that's why Satan is cast out today. He was unruly. He wanted to be like the Most High, knowing quite well that God will not share his glory with another. God means what he says, and he loves us with an everlasting love, and he will do whatever it takes to save us, if only we'll yield ourselves to him.
Brother Paul, you might have somebody out there right now who might not have been doing what they should do. Is there hope for them even today? Is there hope for them today, right now, if they decide to do what is right?
Yes, there's hope, Brother Julian, and that's a major scripture that all of us know by heart in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the whole world, ladies and gentlemen. That's the prostitute, that's the bank robber, that's the man who's on death row. That's the young lady who just decided to have an abortion and maybe cancer, or maybe she did have an abortion. God loves you too. For God so that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, don't care what your condition might be today, he is willing to save you. And the Bible says, if you decide not to be saved, he said, this is the condemnation. The light has come. A man loved darkness rather than light. But we know everyone loves light today. They want to walk in the light. They're tired of the world going and being in chaos. They are tired of being the problem of the world. And today, God is calling you today. Harden not your heart. Surrender your heart to him. And allow him to take control of your life. So that when he comes, you'll be among that number that John saw, that no man could number. Or you can be a part of that number called 144,000. And you'll be known as those who went to preach the gospel with power, that men, women, boys, and girls will be saved.
Let us pray. Most caring Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and the privilege to come before your throne. Lord, we come before you asking forgiveness of our sins and asking for cleansing and cleaning of heart. Lord, as we petition your throne this afternoon, we ask, O God, that you would be with us. Lord, to give us the power and the strength to study your word. Because, Lord, there's a lot of things that we hear and we read and we see. So we need your power to come down to show us what is right. And when we see and when you show us what is right, O Lord, we ask for your power and strength to move in the direction that when you should come in the cloud, we will be able to go home and live with you. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. And don't forget our upcoming live radio program will be on May the 28th from 8 to 10 p.m. So tell your friends or tell a family member to join us on that night, where our topic will be church and state. Should they be united? Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
Hey, for